Look, I know for a bleeding fact the Slayer wouldn't mind me being here.
Right. What's a little sweater sniffing between sworn enemies?
Your girl in the habit of buying her enemies drinks. Because she spent the better part of last night with me doing just that.
Because you guys are such tight pals. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Tell me another.
Okay. How about this one? Twice in recent memory, she's had the lover wickers do a de-invite on the house. Keep out specific vamps. Ever ask yourself why she's never taken my name off the guest list?
Because you're harmless.
Oh, yeah, right. Takes one to know, I suppose. At least I still got the attitude. What you got? Piercing glance? Face it, white bread. Buffy's got a type, and you're not it. She likes us dangerous, rough, occasionally bumpy in the forehead region. Not that she doesn't like you. But sorry, Charlie, you're just not dark enough.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reaction. We're your hosts. I'm Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking Season 5, Episode 8, titled Shadow. Directed by Dan Atias. Written by David Fury. Original air date, my birthday, November 21st, 2000, to an audience of 4.83 million people. I had just turned 11 when this episode dropped.
Ooh, a little baby.
Little baby.
The king of cups wants the picnic.
No shout outs. Reminder to join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy. We did Cruel Intentions, and it seems like it's a popular one. People are digging the Cruel Intentions.
That movie, it was great to revisit that movie that I completely forgotten almost everything about. But man, yeah, that's a movie, man.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
So we did that for Boys Watching Movies this month. And of course, as always, we do Boys Watching Angel on there. And it's a good time. And yeah, also join our Discord. There was a lot of chatter in there this week. It's awesome how like there's more and more people joining and participating in like the earlier seasons talk and me trying to scramble through my memory about what I said or what happened in certain episodes.
Yep.
But yeah, join the Discord and yeah. So without further ado, let us get into Shadow, shall we, Vance?
Yeah, our predictions were way off. And rightfully so. This is a good use of Shadow for the title.
Yeah. Although I did predict, I feel like Joyce would have a little, this is happening.
Yes,
I feel like
yes,
I predicted that a couple episodes ago.
There's some predictions of stuff that we had mentioned beforehand, yeah, but that happened in it, but nothing title related, I don't feel like.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. There's no demons in shadows. Nobody's shadowing anybody.
Yeah.
yeah. So this episode starts off with a recap. Loads of recaps.
Yeah. I was like, who's dying this episode? Because we're getting a lot of backstory.
It felt like one of those episodes where it's like, we're just going to do a whole recap episode, like where they go into something like, hey, tell me your story. And they're like, oh, well, all this happened and this happened.
You know, I think the recaps have almost, they died down a bit with mm-hmm. the streaming and like binge watching where they didn't have like last week on. I know Succession does it because it's like a weekly mm-hmm. show. And this, you got to think this really comes in handy when like, they could be 2 weeks between an episode or something. The holiday
break.
Yeah,
if you miss an episode.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know. Back. Yeah, there's no way to go back and just like catch up on the show.
I know a lot of anime do recaps, but especially if you're watching on Netflix, they have that skip recap button.
Yeah.
So you can just like blaze past it. But like this recap, it's recap of Glory, recap of Dawn, recap of Riley being in love with Buffy, she not being in love with him. Recap of Sandy, who he sees at the bar, who was trying to get him to become a vampire. Mm-hmm. Recap of Spike's love dream with Buffy. Recap of Joyce being like, oh, I gotta stay overnight. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot out of the way.
Yeah.
And the episode opens up with Joyce getting her CAT scan. And I don't think that's what a CAT scan machine looks like.
I literally thought that is a giant room for a CAT scan. It reminded me of some other movie I watched where this room is like where they were doing like some like sci-fi stuff. CAT scan rooms and medical offices are way brighter. Like, I don't know why it's so dark in this hospital in general. And it's a little more crowded. Like, the machine is big, like, but like, there's not like a, it's not like you're in this giant empty warehouse.
Yeah. And like, I know that the machine, I feel like, is more closed in. They had windows on the sides of this CAT scan machine. I didn't think that was a thing. Because I know people that have gotten CAT scans that are like, it's very claustrophobic.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, Joyce is getting it done. Dawn is in the waiting room and she's all nervous. And Buffy comes over and is sitting with her, trying to like maintain a positive attitude, trying to be positive. And Dawn is asking a bunch of dumb questions about CAT scans. Like, why do they even call it a CAT scan? Is it like shaped like a cat?
Yeah, I was hoping they didn't do the cat joke thing, but I think they did it well where she does it and Buffy's like, you idiot. And then she looks and she's like, oh, yeah, this is her.
This is just nervous chatter.
Yeah. So she's like, all right, I'll touch my fake sister. They're like, can you scan my brain? Like, what wavelength is making this person real?
Could you want to do one on Dawn too? Yeah. See if there's anything in there.
No, she's just a giant key.
But yeah, so that's going on. They're all nervous about Joyce, understandably so.
Yeah.
Then we go over to the magic shop, and Tara is looking through a phone book because Giles has now a phone book for everybody.
Yes. Reminder to our younger listeners, I think we brought this up before, maybe an angel.
Yeah.
But a phone book was something that was given out. I think they were just given out to everyone. Yeah. And it had every business's number, and like the white pages had all the residential stuff so you could get in touch with
them. You could call anyone with a funny last name and prank call them.
Yeah, you didn't have to Google, you didn't have to Yelp to find a phone number. It led to one of the best, like, I think Simpsons jokes, which is I've gone from A to Z in the phone book, and it was like or so it looks like they do like a time lapse where like one of Marge's sisters is calling everyone because they're big gossips, and they call someone with A, and then they call someone at Z, but then they just call two people as opposed to calling everyone. Yeah,
that's awesome.
But join the Discord. I'll try and post that in there somewhere.
So Giles has taken an ad out in the phone book. He's got an ad for the magic box, and Tara's looking at it. She's like, oh, this is nice. It's got a very tongue twistery catch phrase for it. I don't remember what it is.
And but I did not even pay attention to what it said at all.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that it was a tongue twister. It was like your one stop shop for everything magic shop related, or it was something crazy.
Yeah.
But then Anya and Xander and Willow show up, and Anya's super fucking jazzed about this ad. She's like, oh my God, am I featured in the ad? And Joss is like, no. And she's like, eh. But then Xander and Willow are talking, and they're kind of pissed that it's the next day from the last episode where Riley went to that vampire den and chucked a grenade in there. And they're pissed. They're like, why would he do that? We were supposed to go meet up in the morning and do this. And then he just totally bailed. But we went to the place anyway and saw that it was fucking blown up with a grenade. It's like, why would he go and do that by himself? That's dangerous as shit. And then they're like, I don't know, Riley's going through some shit.
Like, I never liked Riley.
So then they all decide, like, they need to research who Glory is and what she is, even though that they don't know anything about her, and except that she's blonde and kind of Cordelia-like. And like, well, that's really narrows it down. But they deduce, like, hey, man, this is, like, typical demon shit. She's probably staying in some kind of disgusting crypt or a crappy sewer with a bunch of human feces floating around. And as soon as they were saying all this, it was that setup line, like, oh, we're going to cut to Glory in a palatial estate.
My thing about this setup is, one, we've already seen where she lives, or a place where she lived with that closet, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't implied that she broke into someone's house and is living there, right? And we've also done this joke better with Giles when he was upset that that one demon was, like, not living in a sewer or something.
Yeah.
He's like, have
and he was like...
have some decency, demon. Yeah, so this one was, like, fine. It's an okay transition, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Glory's in her amazing apartment house situation. She's fashionistaing all over the place. She's looking at her pumps. She's looking at her heels. She's got a bunch of clothes strewn about. And she has this underling monk guy who's giving her some kind of... Oh, yeah, his name is Dreg, right?
Dreg the brown noser demon. He is.
Dude, I fucking hated this guy.
He is. Rip out my tongue if you have to. I don't care. You're the best. Like,
yeah. He's a groveling piece of shit roach.
I don't know anybody who would like having someone grovel to them.
No.
Like, that is so annoying.
Yeah, he's just like, my dearest, most amazingness.
Yeah.
Most unbelievably intelligent woman. Like, Glory is, like, eating it up for, like, 2 seconds. Before she's just like, Dreg, what are you doing here? Give me the dark incantation that I told you to dig up for me.
Before she casually drops that her name is Glory.
Yeah.
She casually drops. I was like, oh, so it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, it's not that important. I felt so much better about this after this episode, being like, oh, no, I looked up. I saw some kind of spoiler.
I really thought she was going to... say her name was Glory through, like, one of those, like, gigantic speeches to Buffy, like, where she's beating her up, and she's like, and you will know my name is Glory, or something, and it would, like, reverberate, like, you can't hear her name, and it'd be like, oh, my eardrums,
or something. Or it was going to be something about, once you find out her name, you have power over her, or something, like in The Conjuring 2.
Like Rumpelstiltskin.
yeah. But no, she's just like, huh, Glory. But, yeah, he gives her this dark incantation and she hits him in the head with a heel at a certain point. And she's like, you got to make sure, you got to guarantee me that this spell is going to work. Because if it doesn't, I'm going to be pissed, Dreg. He's like, I'm telling you, it's going to work. And she reads through it and she's like, all right, I see what I need to do. I just need to get a couple other items. And I know exactly where to get them. And she opens up her phone book and rips out the magic box ad.
She's some super something. We don't know what she is.
Mm-hmm.
She has to have another method. Why would you assume? Why would you
going assume, to a store and buying them?
Why would you assume this store has those items?
Just opened.
I would be like, oh, do you have a top hat that I could put a fake rabbit in or something? Like, do you have that thing where I can pull all the, like, my underwear out? It just keeps coming. Yeah.
Like, underwear. That, yes, like handkerchiefs.
The things. Handkerchiefs things, yeah. The clowns sometimes do the underwear. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a nice setup. Nice setup for Giles putting that ad out, and it immediately backfires. Like, immediately.
This is a great episode for Giles.
The day that phone book comes out, it fucking leads to a demonic thing that's threatening all of life. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's, this show is fucking hilarious sometimes, man. I love it. So, yeah, after that, Riley heads on over to Buffy's house and he notices that the door is open and he's like, oh, okay, this is suspicious. So he goes in there and he sees a strange cloth lying at the foot of the stairs. And he's like, this is even more suspicious. So this somebody's here that isn't supposed to be here or something went wrong. So I need to investigate. I need to put on my sneaky shoes. So he starts, like, doing the sneaky climb up the stairs. And then we cut to
good build on this house that's been wrecked. Those stairs aren't creaking at all.
Yeah, wooden stairs. Yeah, dude. The bane of every teenager's existence that's trying to sneak back into the house.
Oh yeah, I could hear my parents coming downstairs. Like because we'd be like in the basement and we could hear our parents from upstairs because those stairs would creak. Like you'd be like, yeah, oh, man. They're coming.
Yeah. You at least it gave you some time if you're doing something. Oh yeah, we'd weird be real in the basement. Quiet.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Your brother, like, what are you talking about? We're just watching TV.
Yeah. Little do you know, you're having a fucking occult meeting. You're raising demons in the basement.
We're playing Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So Riley's on his sneaky shit. He's creeping up the stairs. Then we cut to seeing who has infiltrated the Summers household. And it is Spike. This during daytime. Mm-hmm. During the daytime, he's in Buffy's room sniffing Buffy's clothes. He just has a sweater up to his face and he is taking a big old whiff, man. And this is where Spike
this is the guy we're pulling for. Yes. I'm still waiting.
We like him more than Ryan.
It's like, oh, come on. Like, shit. Oh, man.
So he is enjoying the smell of a Buffy sweater. And Riley comes in and he catches him. And he's like, hey, man, what are you doing in here? And Spike turns around. He's like, I'm doing fucking predator shit. You wouldn't understand. I'm getting the scent of my victim. See, this is what I do. And he takes a couple more sniffs. And Riley's like, no, you're not. Get out of here. He kicks him out. And on the way out,
yep.
Spike grabs a pair of Buffy's panties.
This is
our hero. Bro,
This is who we're shipping for Buffy.
Yeah. Man. I mean, what a guy. He had a shotgun about to shoot. A shotgun. Brought a shotgun to her place last night. Now he's stealing her panties. This is like an anime crush. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. Anime is the horniest. Those teens in that are... I don't even know. They're like, it's aggressive.
Yeah.
I've been watching some Chainsaw Man and boy, oh boy.
Dude.
God.
Chainsaw Man is hilarious.
It's funny, but man, yeah.
So Spike is getting kicked out and Riley is like, what do you think you're doing here, man? What are you doing? And then Spike explains to Riley, like, oh, you're just jealous because I was with Buffy all night last night. And Riley's like, what? You were with Buffy last night? And this is he's preying on Riley's insecurities about him not being cool. And he's like, yeah, man, you're not cool enough. I'm a fucking vampire and Buffy's got a type, you know. And it's vampires, my dude. And Riley's like, that's not true. How did you even get in here? How are you invited in here? And Spike is like, hey, man, I'm just saying Buffy and Willow have done a ton of de-invite spells. Guess who hasn't been on that list of de-invites? Ya boy.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that the spell was specific.
Yeah, me neither.
I thought it was like vampires can't get in. Not like vampires can't get in, but Spike can. In case we need him to babysit or something.
or if it's like Harmony can't come in. That would be so tedious if they had to do it to every single vamp.
Impossible. I think what happened is she probably invited him in last night. And he's like lying about this and saying that he's on the list. You know, like...
I feel like it's more of a forget thing, especially... I mean, Riley's reasoning is like, yeah, she doesn't have to de-invite you because you're harmless. You can't hurt her.
Yeah.
And Spike's like, well, listen up, white bread. Called him bread.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Loved it.
This is military guy all over again.
Yeah. And so he's like, look, dude, you're safe. You're white bread. You're milk. Buffy is not into that. She likes danger. I told her a whole story. The whole episode last time was me telling her she's got a death wish. So she wants to fucking be with a dangerous guy. And then Riley's like, oh, yeah, you want to see dangerous? And he grabs Spike by the lapels and shoves him out into the sunlight. And I was like, all right, I like this, Riley. Taking command. He's like, how dangerous do I feel right now? And Spike's like, please stop. I'm burning up. I'm burning up. Which would be true even if he wasn't a vampire, because he is pale as fuck.
I wonder if later, like in season 7, some vampire invents like some suntan cream that's like completely UV so they can like flather all over and go out. Like, get weird. Get even weirder in the last season.
Just go all just out. Go. Who gives a fuck in here? You already got syndication.
Like, Sarah Michelle Gellar's just drunk on set. Like, it doesn't
But Spike is like, you don't want me to die right now, because then you don't know what's going on with Buffy. Buffy's at the hospital. You don't know where she is. And Riley pulls him back inside, and Riley's like, what? She's at the hospital. And Spike's like, yeah, don't you know? Joyce has a sickness. She's like sick in the head. She's not doing well, so she had to go to the hospital. Don't people call you and tell you these things? And Riley's like, don't fucking know.
This is it's not exactly what I predicted, but I thought Buffy was going to be like, hey, Spike was there for me and you weren't, or something. I thought Buffy was going to like throw it in his face, but this is better that Spike's throwing it in his face. And also, I don't think Buffy's thinking of calling Riley first thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's forgivable.
Yeah, this isn't like, Riley's not her husband or something, you know, like, and well, they don't live together. It's like, I got to go take my mom to the hospital last second. Oh, what should I do? A vampire showed up with a shotgun. My mom has a CAT scan. Hey, Riley? Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, who knows what time it was when Buffy found out, too. And the only reason Spike knows is because he showed up with a shotgun to kill her.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she called Spike, like, Spike, I gotta talk. You know my mom that you love having hot chocolate with? She's not doing well.
She called but Giles before anybody else. Giles and Willow before Riley.
Facts.
Yeah.
It does work in a way to, like, prey on Riley's insecurities, though.
Yes.
So Riley's all pissed off that he didn't know, and he just chucks. He DJ Jazzy Jeff's Spike out into the sunlight. And Spike's like, give me my cloth! Give me my cloth, please! And then Riley just throws him the cloth. It's like, why would he do that? Why does Riley care?
In my
why
notes,
doesn't he just kill him?
I just said, just kill Spike, Riley.
Yeah.
Just kill him. Like, kill him. He turns to dust. And then everyone's like, have you seen Spike? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Or even if Buffy or someone's like, have you seen Spike? And Riley's like, I killed him. He was being a piece of shit. They'd be like, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think anyone would be like, what? How could you?
You see your pair of underwear this outside? He was in your house sniffing your underwear. And Buffy would be like, he did try to kiss me. Like, yeah. Riley, just kill him. Like, I like Spike, again. But the plot armor on this guy.
Yeah, it's unreal. So then Riley is all sad and mopey, but he's like, all right, well, now I know where Buffy is. I'm going to show up to the hospital. And he does, and he's like, Buffy, how's it going? And Buffy turns around, she hugs him, and she's like, things are tough, man. Like, thanks for showing up. Will you go sit with Dawn, though, while I go and check in on my mom? And Ryan's like, yeah, sure. So Buffy goes into the examination room with the doctor and Joyce, and then immediately as soon as she gets into the room, the doctor's like, oh, I gotta go. Yeah. Leaves it to Joyce to explain it.
Yeah.
So
in that dark, or I mean, I know they're looking at the x-rays, but normally it's like that panel that has the light shining back so you can see it, but the room isn't like darkened. It's not like you're at a movie theater.
Yeah. It's not like they have it in a projection dark room or something. So the doctor leaves and Buffy's like, what's going on? And Joyce is like, well, I have to have a surgery right now. And luckily there's space in the OR today because usually people have to wait a couple weeks or days or weeks. But
due
luckily,
to vampire attacks and demon waters. The surgeons are like, I'm working myself to the bone. Like, please.
She's just got a tumor. Oh, that's something I've seen before.
I'm not like stitching up lacerations. Yeah.
Yeah. But Buffy's like, why do you need to have surgery? What's going on? And Joyce is like, they did x-rays and the CAT scan and all this shit. And they saw a shadow. It's just a shadow. They don't know exactly what it is yet, but they need to do a biopsy to make sure. And it's too early to be concerned. And like, we don't exactly know what's going on yet, but they just want to check and make sure that everything is okay. And if it isn't okay, how soon they can like get to working on treatment. Yeah. And dude, Buffy's acting, I gotta say, in this whole episode, Sarah Michelle Gellar's acting this is great. Mm-hmm. Like the shell shock of all of this stuff. Yeah. It's great. She's like nailing it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, she's just carrying over that Cruel Intentions acting ability. Like, she's great in Cruel Intentions and she's great in this. She's yeah, she's showing it off. Yeah, I like the idea of what they're doing here. And she should be happy that they found it. They found out what the problem is, because that's the worst. If you go to the hospital and you're like, I feel something is wrong. And then they're like, we don't know what it is. So then you're just like in the like in the weeds, like, what's wrong with me? But now they found out something and it's like, great. Now we can like figure out what it is and see if it's something, see if it's curable. But yeah.
So after this scene of Joyce breaking the news to Buffy, we go back to the magic box where the gang is researching about who and what Glory might be. And Tara posits this theory that I think I've mentioned, where it was like, maybe Glory's not even in these books, dude. Like, maybe she's something, some kind of new thing that the Watchers haven't even thought of, or maybe she predates the Watchers keeping records of all this shit.
I will give you credit for that, because at least you like heard her talk about herself and like being like ancient and the monks being like, oh my god, this ancient thing. Tara just like comes up with this out of thin air. She's like, maybe she predates books. Like, we haven't had to deal with anything like that before, and we've dealt with the mayor.
Yeah.
The mayor and the ascension was in books.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised people knew how to write after the first ascension. But this
piques Giles's interest, though. He's like, what? You think it couldn't be in the books? Everything's in the books. Mm-hmm. But maybe this isn't. Huh, because when we were reading about this lady before, it's that which shall not be named, or so that cannot be named. And maybe she predates even language itself.
He's like, has Harry Potter been written yet?
But then they're like, well, if she's not in the books, then there's no way we can even research her. We have no idea anything about her, and she could be anything, and she could be anywhere. And Glory shows up right behind Giles as he says that, which I loved.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, do you have this bloodstone and this amulet and all this stuff? And Giles is like, oh, yeah, it's right over there. And then after she walks away, Giles turns around and does the whole, I mean, she could be anywhere.
Yeah.
It could be any of us. No, but you're the one dressed like a hot dog.
Nice little reference. If you get it, you get it.
So Glory finds the items that she needs, and she's buying them, and she's just all chipper, and Giles is like, oh man, these are great items, aren't they? Well, here's the price. And Glory gives him the money, and she's like, yeah, these are gonna come in handy. And she leaves, and Giles is like, that was a nice lady.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
Yep. I like that the scene was just, she shows up, she buys the stuff, and she leaves. I don't know how she didn't overhear them talking about her.
Yeah, Buffy. Right.
But other than that, it's great. I like that she's just like, I got the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope, no problem. No issue.
Just use money. Didn't have to kill anybody. Yep.
Yep. So then we go back to the hospital, and Dawn is asleep, and Riley puts his oversized jacket on her.
I wrote he puts his ugly jacket on Dawn. I just don't know why they went with that color. It's too close
it's
to, like...
It's not the color. It's fit.
I mean, things were baggy back then, though, too. Like,
true, but this look... I mean, it doesn't, it doesn't I'm talking
work
about it.
It doesn't work for him.
I'm talking about it on the report. On the Joe's Fashion Report.
Do you like the coat better as a blanket or a coat? As a blanket, it's fine.
Yeah, definitely as a blanket. Just on him, it looks bad. I don't know.
Right? I'm with you. It doesn't fit him right.
Yeah.
Like, I think David Boreanaz could probably pull it off.
Maybe.
I mean, it'd look weird on him. I think the jacket will look weird on him, but maybe he would. I don't know.
I just don't know.
It's that duster. It's the duster thing, and it's Always Sunny, how everybody puts it on. Charlie looks different. Mac looks different. Dennis looks different in it.
Yeah. Whatever. But he puts the jacket on her, and he's, like, comforting her as she's falling asleep, and Buffy's, you know, across the hall watching it, and she's like, that's a lovely guy over there. He's nice and safe and bread and milk. And then so Joyce's doctor comes over to Buffy and he's like, all right, well, we figured some stuff out. You want to sit down so I can tell you? Buffy's like, fuck no, I'm sick of sitting, dude.
Yeah.
Just tell me. Just give me the news. And the doctor goes, all right, well, your mom has low-grade glioma, which is a brain tumor, and... the symptoms that it could have are loss of vision, appetite, mood swings, loss of control of limbs even. And we need to see if the tumor is operable. And after hearing this, Buffy's like, I gotta fucking sit down. So they go and sit down. And the doctor is like, don't worry. Like, things are going to be fine. Like, Joyce has a real good chance. Like, if we can't find out if it's not operable... there are other options for treatment, and luckily she found out about this now, because if it was even a year ago, like, we wouldn't have so many options. So she's got a real good chance. And Buffy goes, well, what is a real good chance? What does that mean? And the doctor goes, about 1 out of 3 patients do just fine, which is not a very good chance. Those odds are bad.
Not even 50%. 33.333333.
If he's going by baseball logic, yeah, Joyce is a Hall of Famer. But, yeah. But if we're going by survival, doing just fine odds, that's not good, dude. That's bad.
Yeah, he's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's shooting 33%.
Yeah. When he said that, I was like, that's terrible. Yeah. Like, but Buffy is obviously shocked, and the doctor's like, I gotta ask you some questions to see, like, what could have factored into this. Does your mom use a cell phone? And I remember this.
I do too. This, like, don't put the cell phone up to your ear. It's gonna cause, like,
yeah. Back when cell phones were first being used, Everyone was a little bit worried about, like, oh, we're putting all this waves and radio waves and all this shit up to your head, and it could be causing cancer or brain tumors. And then everybody just loved cell phones so much that they were like, ah, fuck it, I'll just get a brain tumor.
I was just thinking that, like, if we found out tomorrow, like, all cancer could be gone if iPhones go away, people would be like, we got to find a way to cure cancer.
Yeah. Everyone would be like, ew, does that mean I have to switch to an Android?
You monsters. I, as an Android user, I'll admit it on the podcast. The Apple people. It's the only thing people get shamed for more than, like, if you saw someone driving a different car than yours, you wouldn't be like, ugh.
Yeah.
A different computer. No one's like, oh, you use a PC, you use a Mac.
Mm-hmm. But
the cell phone.
Yeah. And you see.
And it's all because Apple won't let you share photos the same way. It's Apple's fault. Yeah. It's Apple's fault.
Dude, my one buddy Opie has a great stand-up bit about Android users. Like, it's not just like it's like our personality trait at this point. It's a lifestyle being that annoying to iPhone users. And our one personality trait is fuck you, iPhone users. I don't give a shit
I don't get a different color bubble when you text me. Apple's making it. Apple's the problem.
I mean, I never understood. Like, I've heard people, like, on dating apps when they get a person's number and they have an Android and the other person has an iPhone, they'll be like, ugh. It gives them the ick if they have an Android. Like, are you serious?
It must be nice to have that, but that be the biggest inconvenience in your life.
Oh, right, dude. I will say the sharing videos and pictures is a pain in the ass, like having to get WhatsApp or something like that.
Yeah, it's insane, but it's Apple not wanting to do it. Yeah. Like, it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But whatever. So he asks if she's using a cell phone. Do you live near power lines or any kind of waste disposal facilities? And Buffy's like, dude, I don't fucking know right now. Like, I just found out my mom has a tumor and she's got a 33% chance of being fine. Like,
I have been touching a lot of, like, glowing orbs and spheres.
Yeah.
Like,
there was that one time where there has been a couple times where my mom's memories have been completely wiped and she doesn't even realize what reality she's in. Yeah. I have a fake sister. Is that, you think that might be? One time she was like obsessed with my best friend and wanted to fuck him. Yeah. Like her.
She tried to kill me and my friend. Burn us alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She was influenced by ghost children. Maybe that gave her a tumor.
it's all that band candy. That's what it was. It was all that band candy.
So now our hero, our featured extra, Dr. Intern Ben, shows up.
He's great.
He just shows up. He taps the doctor on the shoulder. He's like, hey, you're needed in the operating room. And the doctor's like, all right, I'll get to these questions a little later. And so he comes and he sits next to Buffy. He's like, hey, it looks like you needed to have a break. I overheard. Like, how did he know that you needed a break? Like, did he know about Joyce's diagnosis?
I think
diagnosis?
He just knows that doctor. And he does know that Joyce is recovering a little bit, I think.
Okay.
He probably willed her to recovery or whatever. Or, you know, out of the operating. Yeah. Hey, he's around. Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, that doctor, he doesn't really understand human interaction a lot. And he's kind of robotic. So sometimes, like, he means, well, he's a great doctor. Your mom's in good hands. So I wouldn't even worry about it. But there's nothing you can do right now. So don't fret. I think you should go take a break, go out for a walk or something. Your mom's going to be out for another 6 or 7 hours. So go take a walk, do something healthy and come on back. And as soon as he said that, I thought that there was going to be a smash cut to Buffy killing vampires in a graveyard.
I was just happy he didn't like ask her out during that time. Yeah. I was like, oh, don't use this. Don't do this. Don't do it. Like, hey, we'll go out and we'll grab a coffee and like kill some time right now. It's like, ooh, that's low. That's not while she's grieving. And he was just like, no, hey, this is my unsolicited advice. And he walks away. And I was like, damn. All right. Riley's out. Intern Ben is in.
You know, while your mom is out, I was thinking maybe we could go out, you know?
I knew a few things we could do to take your mind off of this. Oh, you want to bring your sister too?
Oh, no.
Let him go all the way down the creek.
Written and directed by Joss Whedon.
We have Spike sniffing sweaters and stealing underwear to start this.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but yeah, Dr. Intern Ben is like, that's just my unsolicited advice. I hope that I hope that everything goes well. But your mom's in good hands, basically. And I was like, this is good doctorship.
It's good, bedside manner. Yeah.
So he walks away. Riley comes on over to comfort Buffy. And Buffy's like, you know what? I got an idea. I heard this guy Vance Tucker talking about this. I'm going to go get some fucking magic. There's got to be some kind of healing spell. I'm going to go talk to Willow about this. And Riley's like, you sure about that? You sure about that? You think that's a good idea? But I was like,
I was not expecting Riley to be the one to be like, I don't think you should do magic. Yeah. I was so surprised that they flipped it that way, you know?
Yeah. And it does make sense because then Buffy would be in an emotional state of like, acting emotion. Like, I gotta do something.
Yeah, I kind of like, I understand what they're doing with the whole magic stuff they talk about later. But, you know, magic, we've seen magic give people abilities and stuff that we saw in Angel and whatever, too. I was thinking to myself right here, this is the time where Riley suggests that they use the military guys and the military doctors that he has.
Oh,
like, remember
yeah.
he tried to offer that? Like, should we put them on it? This guy did surgery on your chest and Spike's head in the same night.
Yeah.
Find that dude.
Two very completely different
yeah.
parts of, like, there's brain surgeons and there's heart surgeons.
Yeah.
Those skills don't overlap a lot, you know?
And you got to think the initiative has some super science. Like,
yeah,
that's what I was like. Oh, yeah. Bring up those guys. Like, you brought them up before to like, oh, should we put them on it to find glory? Fuck that. Figure out how to help my mom. And maybe Buffy will love you. Trap Buffy with like, you can't leave me. My boy saved your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did put your humongous jacket on my sister. That's fake.
Yeah. That you're going to ask me to watch right now.
Yeah. But. So Riley is like, yeah, I don't think that we should bring magic into this. And Buffy's like, I got to try something. We have to see if it even exists. We got to try. And then Riley's like, all right, well, if you're going to do that, you need anything from me? Buffy's like, yeah, well, you drop my sister off at school.
She could just take the day off.
Right? Yeah. And then Riley's like, what should I tell her about your mom? And Buffy's like, don't tell her anything. Tell her we don't know anything yet. I'll figure out what to tell her, or at least Joyce will have something to tell her. Like, it should not come from you, Riley, basically.
I thought this was going to be a bigger moment. I'm happy it wasn't. Like, yeah. I'm happy, like, him not telling wasn't like this whole, like, oh my God, you didn't tell me. And mm-hmm. she gets mad at Buffy and all that stuff. I was happy that that didn't go that route.
Same.
Because it's no way he should tell her.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So then we go on over to the magic box, and Anya is doing her clerk cashier duties, and she's looking at the receipts, and she's like, discovers, hey, Giles, are you fucking stupid? And Giles is like, what? And Xander's like, Anya, what did I tell you about not talking to your employer like this? Giles is like, yeah, I should fucking fire you. And Anya's like, no, dude, like, you are fucking stupid. You sold this amulet and this bloodstone to somebody, and you should never sell those things together. This is like selling meth and bomb things together. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? And she's like, don't you know this spell? Isn't anyone familiar with this spell? This could cause, like, this is some kind of crazy summoning of incredible demon magic that you could have unleashed on the world if you sold these items together. And Tara and Willow are like, oh, yeah, I've kind of heard about that spell. Yeah, that's bad news. And Giles is like, oh, I didn't know.
I had mentioned this in a previous episode that they need to keep an inventory of what they sell to people and, like, a way to track those people down. They should yep. know. The fact
Take IDs.
That, the fact that they are selling these two items in a regular store to what they assume are regular people. Every person that's coming in there with a list of specific shit to buy is up to yeah. something.
Yes.
Like, not like good shit. Like, not like, ah, oh, yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, I have a bully at school. I just want to, like, figure out and make them nice. Like, they all are coming in with devious plots.
This is all for self-defense.
Yeah, it's like,
no, it's not, bro.
Like, she came in and she's like, oh, can I get an amulet and a bloodstone? He's like, oh, I have a bloodstone right here. Why do you have that?
Yeah.
Why is that for sale? You should be selling fake crystals. Like, everything there should not work.
You should have fake, yes. fake versions of that with the yes. same name.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
My God, they're selling real shit to people. It's insane.
And keep all the good shit for Willow and Tara and yourself.
Yeah. The fact that you can go in there to find something to conjure a demon. And right, I could just buy that. I could just stumble in there and be like, oh, I like that. That looks pretty.
Like, I mean, I just always will harken back to when Xander mm-hmm. was just reading three random words out of a book and the book caught on fire.
They weren't even that random. They were just Latin for the thing that he did. It was just like, it was true. Like fire. He just read Latin.
Yeah.
Man, I just, yeah, this is insane. This magic shop makes no sense. They sell this stuff to people.
Yeah. But then through this, they figure out, oh, that must have been Glory. So now we at least know what she looks like and what she's planning.
At least he knows. And Xander should know. Xander's a guy. He's like, he didn't see red dress hot girl walk in.
Dude, Glory looks so hot, dude.
I mean, she walks in the middle of the day.
Tune into the report.
She walks in the middle of the day in that dress. Like, it's
that's an intense dress.
And I'll say this, all the girls would notice it too.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they don't even make a comment on her, but they all saw her walk in. They haven't seen anyone look like this.
Since Cordelia left town.
He's like, I used to like Buffy. Anya would have made a comment too, yeah.
Oh, she'd be like, Xander, what are you looking at? Yeah. He's like, what? She's fucking by. It's cool. She reminded me of something.
She reminded me of you.
All of my fantasies. Yeah. So then we go to Riley and Dawn at a carousel. And Dawn is slow eating a milkshake that Riley, I guess, bought for her.
Luckily, she puts it down and somehow she didn't get it all over her face, and we don't get the Dawn ice cream nonsense. Yeah. She starts eating, she stops, and she's like, yeah, I'm just not that hungry. I was like, whew.
Yeah.
Because this show's so weird. I'm like, is she going to start hitting on Riley? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, I love this scene a lot.
It does what it needs to do.
Big fan of Riley in this scene. And even Dawn came around on me, and I was like, this is a sweet, like, good boyfriend to the older sister scene. Like, he didn't take her to school. He was like, you don't need to be going to school right now.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
Let's just go have a good time, all right? So he takes her to the carousel, and Dawn's telling him about her 10th birthday, where her mom rented out this carousel when they first moved over to Sunnydale after the divorce, and Dawn hadn't made any friends yet, so it was just Joyce, Dawn, and Buffy riding this carousel for hours and hours, or I think it was like a whole hour or something. She rented it out. She was like, and I didn't have any friends, so it was just us riding this carousel. Mm-hmm. And that was like a very sweet and relatable, I could see this happening type of situation, because Joyce wanted to get her money's worth.
Yeah.
Which is that reminded me of my parents, to be honest with you.
And I have to remind you, this is all fake memories.
Yes.
Like, that's
none of this is real.
Like, I was like, this is a great thing, but it never happened.
Yeah. But then it gets Dawn being like, I'm worried about my mom. Are you? My mom is fucked, isn't she, Riley? She's like, she's not doing well, is she? And Riley's like, no. She is going to pull through. She's going to be just fine. You Summers women, you're tougher than nails. You know, like, you're tough as fuck. And I was like, dude, Riley, now you're winning me over. This is such a good, this is what Riley is great for. Like, comforting the big brother situation, I feel like.
Yeah. I'm saying he has chemistry with everyone except for Buffy.
Yeah. Like, it's weird how, like,
him and Xander,
they do not mix at all.
Him with scenes with Willow, him with scenes with Xander, him with Spike is fun. Him with Giles is fun.
Yeah.
But him with Buffy doesn't work. It is incredible.
It's such a bummer. It's a bummer. It's incredible, too.
Like, Dr. Intern Ben had, like, one scene, sits on the couch, and you're like, damn, all right, I'm down with that. Like, it's so... I don't... Like, maybe there are video essays and, like, studies done. Like, I'm sure people have written theses about... Like, I'm so curious of what it is,
mm-hmm.
as a person that just studies human interactions and, like, in a non, like, just, like, on the whim, like, how is it not working? Like, what is it?
I don't know. And I think it's because they didn't really know what to do with Riley when this is what it should have been the whole time. Like, the comforting protector.
Well, he can't like, do I that get with that Buffy, though. You can't be comforting protector to the Slayer who is, like, all-powerful. Like, that fair. Doesn't make any sense. Like,
and to be fair, that is where a lot of his insecurities come from, because I guess he's used to being military guy, comforting protector, like, I'm the man.
Maybe it's the initiative that messed it all up.
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't understand why, like, he's good in scenes with other people.
Yeah. But Dawn is like, you know what? Thanks for taking me to the carousel. Thanks for the milkshake and everything. Like, I'm really glad that you're with Buffy. She really needs somebody like you right now. And I was like, really? And Dawn's like, yeah, she talks about you all the time. She's really happy that you're around. And he's like, that's awesome. Thanks for, she's like, yeah. Let me put my foot in my mouth really quick. She was never like this with Angel. And Ryan's like, what? She's like, yeah, man. I mean, Buffy was always worked up around Angel. It was always, everything was the end of the world. She was crying. Her mood swings was crazy. And man, she was just all about this guy. But you, she's like really level. And like, this is like a safe thing. And then Riley's like, fuck.
She says he cries a lot less with you than when she was with Angel. And then it's like, oh, he cried a lot with Angel. Yeah, she's like, yeah, she doesn't get worked up like that over you. And then he gets that sad face, and I just wrote, ouch.
Yeah, man.
She's not trying to hurt his feelings, but he's got that insecurity there, and then that.
Yeah, it's also like Dawn doesn't know what Spike just said to him.
Well, what Spike just said, and with Buffy, all like that flashback of Buffy, him being like, Buffy doesn't love me, and then the scenes with Angel before, like... Yeah. So it's a lot.
He's playing it well too. Like, you can see the like, fuck, this is weighing on me a lot.
Now we're kind of at this point where we're back to where that episode ended, where it was like, but I know she doesn't love me, and we're like, okay, now we're ready to ride for Riley. And now we know we're gonna get like two more episodes of like randomness, and then we'll go back to this well of like, oh, she doesn't like me. Even the way they do it at the end of this episode felt a little weird. Like,
yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So, speaking of Buffy, she shows up to the magic box, and she's talking to the gang. She's like, hey, this is what's up with my mom. Do we know any healing spells that we could get rid of this thing ASAP? And Willow's like, I don't think that I've ever heard of a spell like that that could help Joyce. And Tara's like, yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea. And Buffy's like, what are you talking about? You guys do fucking spells all the time. And then Giles is like, Buffy, the mystical and the medical aren't always a good mix. They're not meant to mix. And Tara's like, yeah, I mean, we've done a bunch of spells and they've backfired a lot. I don't know if this is a good idea. And I was like, that is an excellent fucking point.
Excellent point, but would you take a 1 in 3 chance? Like, what is the damage, though? Like, what are you risking at this point? Like, if it goes,
I mean,
I'm saying, like, if it goes wrong, can you retroactively do something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a last ditch measure, like, you
if
might.
If worse comes to worse, just wheel Joyce in the middle of a pentagram and go reverse the spell and it's over.
Yeah. Like, last season they like all jumped into Buffy's body to defeat Adam.
Yeah.
Let's do like an Osmosis Jones or whatever, where they all shrink themselves down they and go in their brain.
Little magic school bus situation. Yeah. It's Frizzle. I will say, like, if this was Willow's mom, Willow would have just fucking done it. She wouldn't have asked anybody.
Yep.
It's a bummer that, like, Buffy doesn't know how to do spells and she has to ask them. And they're like, we're going to gatekeep the spells. but if it was Willow's mom or Tara's mom, mm-hmm. they would have just went ahead and done it.
Tara's like, wait, they're about to find out my demon stuff? Blind them. Oz loves another werewolf. Kill them all. You never love again.
Never love another human again.
Buffy's mom is sick. Oh, hey. Sorry.
I don't know about that.
No.
I mean, 33% chance. That's pretty good odds.
Tander's like, Cordelia doesn't like me anymore. All right, love spell.
Yeah.
Joyce is dying. Well, I don't know.
That's a good doctor. Doctor intern Ben, he seems like a good... He said that's a good doctor. Your mom's in good hands.
Yeah. I read his report on Shadows. He's good. He's good. But yeah, I like the idea that, like, okay, this is a real thing. We can't do magic to solve it. Like, it's that get out of jail free thing. Logically, story-wise, I get it. Logically, it's like they're definitely trying some magic shit.
Yeah. But then Anya spills the beans about, she's like, oh man, this, as if this day couldn't get any worse. And Buffy's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, fucking Giles, he sold. And Xander's like, shut the fuck up. Nothing happened.
I hated that they weren't going to tell her. Like, yeah. It's couched in the, oh, she's having a bad enough day. Let's not pile on.
Yeah.
But then it's also in that, like, Giles doesn't want to admit that he made a mistake thing, too. And my thought was like, hey, this thing is after her sister, Giles. You know that. And you know it can beat her up. And you're
Do we know that it's after her sister? Oh, Giles knows. Yeah, Giles knows. Does
So he knows it's after the sister because it's the key. And that's the demon that was looking for the key. And then also that, like, now this thing is out loose and dangerous and it's gonna attack her. And they're like, let's just keep it a secret. And I'm like, no, you have to tell her. Like, it's dangerous for her not to know. And this thing goes on for a little while. It's
They all try to lie and cover it up. And Buffy's like, guys, I know that you're fucking lying. I can tell when something's up. Just tell me. So then Giles eventually spills the beans. He's like, I sold this lady the amulet and a bloodstone. And it turns out I think that it was the lady that beat the shit out of you. And I'm sorry. And Anya's like, yeah, with these items, she can summon a monster with it. And usually it is some type of reptile demon. And then Xander says, oh, why is it always these fucking people worshiping reptiles and snakes and shit? Why can't we, like, run into, like, a bunny worshiper? And Anya goes, well, thank you for those nightmares, because it is well established that Anya is terrified of bunnies. And I was like, this is an excellent callback.
Is it established that? Oh, yeah, because of the bunny.
In the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you're supposed to dress up like something that terrifies you. And she's like, bunnies terrify me.
And Willow has the frog thing. I really wonder if that's ever going to come back. They bring back a lot of stuff, man. So this the show, I don't know. Xander also had a joke earlier that reminded me of the clip. Someone posted the clip of the animated Buffy show.
Animated Buffy?
Yeah, that never got released or never made it past the pilot or whatever. When everyone realizes that Giles had sold to Glory, and everyone goes, oh, that was her. And then they cut to Xander, and he's just like, what happened? Like, so perfect. But yeah.
So somehow they deduce that Glory is going to transmogrify a cobra. And Buffy's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go fucking find this lady. I'm going to beat the shit out of her. And they're like, Buffy, you sure that's a good idea? Last time she beat you up and was merciless and you were fucked up because of it. And Buffy just turns. She's like, I got to do something. All right.
Do you want us to give you some of these magical weapons in this magic shop that we have? Like anything.
Just lying around.
Do you want to take an axe? Like,
yep.
She just walks in, fists.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then we go to the zoo.
This is where we get to the beginning of this episode being amazing.
Everything from here. I mean, this episode is great,
yeah.
Like emotionally. And now they kick things up back to like season one level, yes, of Buffy shit.
Yes.
And I fucking love, dude. This is one of my favorite episodes of this season so far. Like, it just, I feel like it works.
Yeah. I don't even remember the episodes that we watched. I haven't ranked them yet. I saved that for the end. Save that for the recap episode. Yeah.
So we go over to the zoo and Glory goes up to like the reptile enclosure and she just sees a cobra in its little case, punches through the glass, grabs the cobra, which is a rubbery Spencer's Gifts cobra.
This episode does a good job of like CGI, practical effects, and then like there was like a real cobra at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was a real cobra in the enclosure, and then after Glory grabs it, it is a mega fake rubber.
But then when they put it in that little vase thing, it's also a real one because you could see it like not go in at first. Yeah.
So they put it in this like little vase thing or whatever it, something.
Whatever Josh sold her.
Yeah.
She went to the
flower pot.
She went to that other place. There's a place in Angel. Like, what was that?
Oh, okay.
That's another place you can buy.
The bookstore?
No, that other place with not Andy Daly, but you thought it was Andy Daly.
And he can buy
these cases to put people in, like boxes. Yeah.
So they just go ahead and do the spell, this like dark incantation spell right there in the zoo, because Glory is not about wasting time. Mm-mm. So she's there with Dreg and she starts doing the spell and Buffy shows up and just punches Glory in the face and she's like, it's on. We're not fucking waiting around for this. I don't have time for your bullshit. My mom has a tumor. I got to take out some rage. And so after Glory gets punched, she's just like, oh God, Dreg, keep doing the spell. I'm going to handle this chick. And handle this chick, she does.
Yes.
Glory just is tossing Buffy around this exhibit, dude.
I love
this. Knees her in the face at one point. And I was like, God damn.
And she's quipping.
Yeah.
Like, she's out quipping Buffy during this. Like, she's like talking and quipping and punching and flipping and like.
It's the nice, like, shoes on the other foot, Buffy. Yeah. How do you like it?
What I love about this is Glory doesn't give a shit about Buffy, though, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's she just wants this key thing. Like, Buffy is just an annoyance. It's not
she's
like
a
yeah.
So in the middle of this huge fight, like, she tosses Buffy, like, into the cobra enclosure. Like, glass is breaking. Also, this exhibit is, like, a cave, too. So it's rough rock. Oh, man, it's gotta hurt.
It's, I was definitely getting a hyena flashbacks.
Because
that when they go to that zoo.
So after Glory incapacitates Buffy pretty heartily by throwing her into some kind of enclosure, the giant cobra dude from the vase emerges. And boy, oh boy.
I'm going to say this. I love the weird look of this creature.
I am 100% in agreement with you.
Yeah, it's like he's got like this big head and then like these little arms and he like stands up and slithers. I don't know. It's the CGI stuff of it looks a little weird. I love the practical when it gets really close up. Some of the CGI wide shots are ridiculous later
on. Absolutely.
But
Yeah. But yeah, I love the look of it. Love, he's threatening looking. It's a giant cobra that has like muscly dude arms.
Yeah.
And Buffy wakes up to see this guy emerge, and then Glory's like, "All right, cool. Now that you're here, you're the finder. Find me the key, please." Mm-hmm. And then the guy is like, "All right, I'm gonna go slither around and figure this out."
And Buffy so just gets up and like runs away.
Yeah.
Like, again, Glory doesn't care at all. Like,
yeah. She's more concerned about which pumps she's going to wear, what heels she's got going on. Yep. Does it match her outfit? And Buffy's just like, she's like, "Ah, oh, don't tell me I fought a fucking vampire." It's like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
So then we go over to the magic box and Riley shows up and he's like, "Hey, anyone know where Buffy is?" And Xander is like, "Yeah, she went to go fight that Glory chick." And Riley's like, "What? Why would she go alone? Why would she go and fight this chick alone? She got handled last time." And then Xander's like, "Yeah, that's a bad idea to go and do something alone. That's really dangerous, isn't it? Like, kind of like how someone was supposed to go with a group of people to a vampire den and fight vampires, but that person went alone to a dangerous situation and threw a grenade there." Huh. I was like, bro. Great point. Mm-hmm. But is this the time for this?
I thought it was the time for it. Absolutely.
I don't know. I was like, this is a heavy guilt trip. And like, there's a lot going on.
Well, what does Riley have? What is he guilt tripping Riley? Like, it's basically Riley's like, "Why did she go solo?" And he's like, "You went solo too." It's like 1-to-1. Like, I don't. Yeah. It's not, his mom's not sick.
Like, I don't know. I guess maybe it's because I had just seen the scene with Riley and Dawn and I know how bad Riley's feeling. Well, then later,
the end of this scene, Xander asks, like, "What's wrong with you?" And then he sees his face and he goes, and then he asks him if he's okay.
Yeah.
The characters in the show do not have previous knowledge of the scenes that happened before.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't factor that into it.
Like,
but I was like, damn, Xander, but he wouldn't have known.
All he knows is this guy threw a grenade and some vampires went solo and now mad at Buffy about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But so like Vance just said, he sees like how kind of like down Riley is. He's like, "Hey man, is everything all good?" And Riley's like, "Yeah, I'm not feeling good, man. Like, I'm in a bad way." And Xander's like, "Hey man, like, well, we're here for you."
That's why they showed the flashback in the beginning so that we knew that like Xander knows about that. Like, Xander sees it in his face and he's like, "What's going on with you?" And he's like, "Oh shit, you're still like in your weird Buffy mood." He's like, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, Xander and Riley got a good romance friendship type of deal going on too.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't get it.
So then we see the cobra dude slithering around in a church. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, she told him to go to the church first because he has to track down like where the monks were. And like they do a good job of just doing like quick, this is where the monks were. Then he goes to like the next place and whatever. I wrote down when I saw him in the church, how is this monster traveling around?
Dude.
And we see how he's traveling around. This should be on the news immediately. Like, this, like. It's just literally moving.
There's no way that this show could exist in 2023 because everyone would have a cell phone.
Everyone would have a cell phone and a bunch of people would be shooting at it.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Man.
But yeah, he's slithering around a church trying to catch the scent of the key. So then we cut to the hospital and Buffy's calling Giles. And Giles picks up and he does this like, "Hey, welcome to the magic box, your one-stop shop for all magic box mocks." And Buffy's like, "Giles, shut the fuck up. It's me." And Giles is like, "Oh, okay. How did it go with your confrontation with Glory?" And Buffy's like, "Yo, she fucked me up, dude. I cannot stop her." And Giles is like, "I mean, yeah, that that sucks, but I feel like we all told you that was going to happen. Buffy's like, yeah. And what's worse is she conjured the Cobra guy. So now the Cobra guy is out and he is searching for Dawn. And it's almost 4 o'clock and we got to get Dawn to the magic box. And we gotta fucking protect Dawn. And Giles is like, all right, cool. And then Buffy's like, oh, and one more thing. Giles, keep this a secret. Keep this between you and me. And we don't need Dawn freaking out about this Cobra guy. And she's already got enough going on in her mind. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll keep it a secret.
Well, there's in this scene, she says the monster's big, but not mayor big. So we get a callback. And then Giles reiterates something that Dr. Intern Ben said, where he's like, there's really nothing else you can do. Mm-hmm. So that's like a running theme through this. Like, you just gotta, like, you can't use magic on it. You can't do this on it. You just gotta, like, kind of wait. And Buffy's always been a person of action when things go wrong, which is what Xander mentions to Riley earlier. Dawn's coming home from school. Like, supposed to come there after school or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess he took her back to school at some point. I guess Riley dropped her off at school late. I don't know.
Yeah, he took her to the carousel before school, got her a breakfast milkshake.
Who knows what time it is? Because it's night soon.
I'm glad that you talked about Xander telling Riley about it. I forgot about that, about how Riley's like, how could she go alone? And like, what is she thinking? Xander's like, Buffy is dealing with a lot right now that she can't solve. And she's like an active, I need to solve something. Mm-hmm. This glory thing is something concrete and physical that she can touch and like solve. So she needs to do that right now.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Riley though, we go now to Riley and he is just drinking.
We cut to a montage. Yeah. This is the beginning of this montage. So
the beginning of the montage is Riley drinking alone at Willie's. And then we go to Buffy being sad at the hospital. Then we go to Dawn being sad at the magic box. Then we go back to Riley and Sandy comes up to Riley again. She isn't persistent.
And we have to say that on Discord, one of our listeners brought up the fact that Sandy was the girl that Vamp Willow must have turned in that. Yeah. Was that the
Doppelgangland
episode?
So
doesn't really make sense that she would have been turned and not dead or whatever, but that is her. They brought back that actress and it's supposed to be her.
That is such a deep cut.
A lot of people in the Discord did not know that either.
We're seeing this for the first time. Like, there's people that have seen it multiple times, like, oh, I never picked up on that.
I would have never picked up. Like, why? Like, you would just be like, oh, this is just some actress playing the role.
But good catch.
Yeah.
People that found that out or remembered that or whatever, because I never would have fucking caught that.
Yeah.
But Sandy comes up to Riley again and she's like, hey there, big boy. And Riley is looking at her like, you know what? Maybe.
Yeah, this was where it was like, what's going on here? I was thinking, oh, Buffy likes vampires? Maybe I like vampires.
Mm-hmm. But then we got cut to the doctor talking to Buffy and Joyce. And is it a part of this montage?
Yes, the mom, like, reacting to the news.
Yeah, and turning her head and having a bandage on her head. Mm-hmm. Then we cut to Sandy pulling Riley into these dark, shadowy alley. And's like kissing up on him, and then she goes for his neck, goes full vamp face, and just as she's about to bite, you're looking and you're like, oh, Riley, you're falling to this. You fell right into Spike's trap. You're gonna become a vampire. Mm-hmm. And because you think it'll impress Buffy, but no, he fucking stakes her right as she's about to bite
him. She bites him.
Does bite him.
She's on the neck. He's feeling it.
Yeah. And it's like he had a crisis of conscience right there. And like, I can't do this. And he stakes her, which was like, great great of him to have that backup plan of like, if I choose to not go through with this, I could just.
Well, I don't know. Well, that becomes my question of, was his plan to turn himself into a vampire and he had a crisis? Did he just say, fuck it, I just want to feel something and just have a vampire? Like, I don't know exactly what his mindset. Like, this is what I have to think about. Sandy knows that he knows that she's a vampire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Sandy's not just going to go to an alley with him and be like, oh, are you going to fall for this trick again? Like, she's not, like, vampires aren't, like, they're dumb, but they're not, like, forgetful. Yeah. Not goldfish or whatever. So, like, what did he say at the bar? Like, hey, I want you to turn me. Is that the move he said? Is he's like, hey, I know you're a vampire, but I'm horny for vampire lust. Like, what got her to go to the alley with him for this, you know?
Yeah. Even if, I mean, he would have had to have lied to her about like, yeah, you're so hot, turn me into a vampire so we can be together. But like, he's really like, there's no way he could be like, I want to turn into a vampire because the girl that I love is into vampires.
He wouldn't say that, but like, she wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to turn you into a vampire because like, but we get that look when Sandy comes in, like, oh yeah, I kind of like am crushing on this guy, you know? Because as we know, vampires will crush on humans.
Yeah.
So like, facts. Why?
Sandy breaks into Riley's place, starts sniffing his jocks.
his initiative gear.
Yeah, his initiative branded tidy whiteys.
Yeah.
Riley definitely wears tidy whiteys.
His iron tidy whiteys. Starched and ironed. It's interesting. And I was like, man, is he going to turn into a vampire? And I was like, this could be interesting if he does.
I was really like, oh, that would be interesting. And trying to hide from Buffy that he's a vampire. Like, oh, I can't go out during the daytime. Yeah. Like, it was going to be interesting. But I think he's also, his crisis of conscience was also interesting.
It was, like, I'm a little torn. Like, do I wish that he would have went through with it and been like, you dumb dummy? Or is it like, just we're watching a guy like go out, like he's drinking at the demon bar, he's like getting bit by vampires, like he's struggling, he's falling off, and I was like, being turned is the next step of that. I just don't know if we're just gonna like let this linger for like two more episodes of like, oh, he's falling or not. I just don't know what they're gonna do. That's my question.
Yeah, I really like this scene though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after he stakes her, he has just like this look of vengeance on his face. Like,
I felt like so bad for Sandy the vampire at this point. Right? Like
she got duped.
She got duped. And here's the weirdest thing. They go on patrol to kill vampires, but they also have a vampire bar that they can go to where vampires just go. And it's like, we don't kill them there. They don't go into the bar every night and just kill every demon in there. They just let them be. So
yeah, I mean, they also have another bar where vampires go to called the Bronze.
And the magic shop where demons are just welcome to roam free.
Yeah. I think it would have been a very interesting wrinkle to make Riley a vampire and then Buffy dump him and then he's just the heartbrokenest vampire in the land.
I wonder if they couldn't do that because if Riley becomes a vampire who's heartbroken and then vengeful again, we're back at the Angela stuff. And then I want them to do it just because then they're like, oh my God, Buffy, you can't be dating vampires anymore. And then she dates Spike and they're just like, what the fuck are we going to do with you, Buffy?
Dr. Intern Ben is just right there like, come on.
I'm a doctor.
Doctor Intern.
Doctor Intern. I mean, soon to be a doctor if he can if he can live long enough in Sunnydale.
Yeah. If there's not another demon hanging out in the locker room. But that would have been an interesting turn. Riley turns into a big bad, like trying to be like, you broke my heart, trying to kill Buffy. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would have been interesting. But I'm also interested to see where this goes anyway.
Yeah, we'll see.
So then after this, we have the Cobra guy going to the carousel. And while he's there, he's like, oh, I pick up on the scent of the key. His eyes flash red. He's like, oh, I got it. Let me smell this and like follow the trail. follow my nose wherever it goes, like Toucan Sam.
I want to see him go into the school. Like, he's in front of the carousel, this is outside. Like, yeah. Someone's got to be like, what the fuck is this thing?
Yeah. So Buffy shows up to the magic box and Dawn is there and she hugs Buffy and they're like, oh man, is everything all good? Everybody safe here? And they're like, yeah, everything is good. No signs of trouble. And then the Cobra dude just busts into the magic shop. Fucking shatters the windows. Mm-hmm. Another deal for the window salesman of the Sunnydale.
Every morning they wake up to like a million phone calls. They have a call center to take all the requests.
It's just the most lucrative business in this city. Yeah. But so he busts through the window, starts wrecking the shop.
Oh, you know we're gonna get Xander fixing it up next episode.
This shop has been wrecked. Giles has had it for maybe like 2-3 weeks. And it has been wrecked. 3 times.
It seems like it would be dangerous to have the stuff that they have on the shelves. Like, it gets knocked over and you're like, oh shit, that shouldn't have, that's not supposed to crack open. Like,
yeah, they have all kinds of orbs everywhere. Yeah. Just shattering all over the joint.
Yeah.
But while he's wrecking the shop, he knocks over a bookshelf and it falls on Buffy and Buffy's incapacitated.
Always our biggest weakness is bookshelves.
Yeah. So as she's incapacitated, she's like struggling. She can't get this bookshelf off of her. The Cobra is like right in Dawn's face and he's looking at her. And Dawn is just screaming her fucking head off.
Rightfully
scream so. Scream queen.
Rightfully so. Like,
yeah.
I don't know who doesn't scream like that if you see that thing standing in front of you.
Yeah. And nobody else, like the whole gang is there. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is doing anything. This Cobra is just there. Looking right at Dawn, Dawn screaming her head off.
This is a thing that they didn't want to tell Buffy about. Imagine that happened and they didn't tell Buffy about it. And then they had to tell her afterwards. This is it's a betrayal on the level of like when he took her powers away from her.
This is a betrayal the likes of which have never been seen before.
Yeah.
So after the Cobra dude sees Dawn, he's like, all right, now I know where she is. I'm out. Deuces.
Yeah, because Glory said to find the key and then come back and tell me its location.
Yep. So the Cobra just comes back through the window and heads out. And Buffy finally pushes the bookshelf off and she goes up to Giles. She's like, oh, shit, the Cobra knows about Dawn not being real. And then so Buffy starts chasing after this Cobra.
Well, she doesn't say those words because the rest of the group does not know. He's like,
yeah, she just goes up to Josh. She's like, he knows. The Cobra knows. Then she starts chasing the Cobra. And then we get the most glorious wide shot ever of this Cobra just slithering around the Sunnydale city street. The major street.
The main street. People walking. Main street. Yep.
Main street. Well, for Main Street, there's literally only one car on the street.
And because it's a studio, the street ends. It just drives right into a building.
But a guy dodges out of the way of the Cobra's like, oh, holy shit. There's a couple other people, like 3 or 4 other people. A car spins out trying to avoid the Cobra. And Buffy, for the second time in this entire series, starts chasing the Cobra.
Now, for me, seeing the Cobra would freak me out.
Absolutely.
Now, seeing a small blonde woman chasing after it, that would even pique my interest even more. I would be like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on?
Like, isn't that girl I went to high school with?
And then
Buffy?
Well, if you went to high school with her, then you know what's up.
Yeah. Isn't that the class protector? Oh, this must be some kind of class protection.
And then I would just like be like, hey, that magic shop that's wrecked? Did that just come out of here?
We got some questions. Yeah. Cops got to show up at some point. Somebody had to have called 911. Sunnydale PD, how can we help you? Yeah, there's a giant fucking snake.
We got 3 reports of that on Southtown. We're fine.
So Buffy's running through the city chasing after this Cobra. And then eventually Giles shows up in his hot red BMW convertible. And he's like, Buffy, get in. Let's chase it.
I was like, this is what this car's for.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're chasing this Cobra. And then we cut back to Glory in her apartment with Dreg. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Dreg, this is taking way too long. How come this fucking snake guy hasn't found the key yet? You told me it was going to work. And Dreg's like, please, please, most beautiful, most ingracious one, please. It just takes a little bit of time. I know it's going to work. I know that he's going to find it. And then Glory's just like starts taking her anger out on the monk and like beating him up a little bit, giving him a little bit of 1-2s.
I wouldn't call him a monk.
Well, yeah, he's something.
He's just dressed in like
he's in monk gear.
Yeah, he might be a demon. He could be a demon monk. Maybe that's what you call in for this thing. I do love that she's like TikTok Dreg, tick freaking tock Dreg.
Yeah, yeah. I love unhinged Glory.
Oh yeah,
but. So Giles and Buffy are still chasing the Cobra guy, and then eventually it goes through like a construction site where there's a fence, and Giles can't drive through there because this is a new car. This is a pretty hot car. It's I don't like, want to drive. This isn't like, an off-road vehicle.
I like Dawn and all, but she's not a real person, so.
I paid a lot of money for this BMW. Yeah. Dude. This is a pretty pricey vehicle. It's not an off-roader, so.
And your future boyfriend wrecked my other car.
So Buffy hops out and starts chasing him, and then eventually catches up with him and grabs a chain on her way here.
Did you notice the stunt double in the shot of her running forward, which I did not understand? Like, we see her run through the fence, and then there's an edit, and then there's another edit of her running a little closer, and it's definitely not Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I was like, why did they cut to the shot this head on with a different person? Like, I felt like they could have just got rid of that shot and not shown the stunt person's face. It was weird.
I didn't notice that edit. I noticed the stunt double jumped out of the car, and then there was an edit, and then it's a close-up shot of Sarah Michelle Gellar running.
But then there's another close-up running, and it's the stunt. And it's
the stunt. No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was weird.
But
I will say this stunt double does look more like Sarah Michelle Gellar than the last one.
Yeah.
I can't speak on quality of the stunts yet. The stunt coordination's been good this season, but yeah.
Yeah. So on her way, Buffy grabs a chain, and then she catches up to the snake and chains it around its throat and starts choking it. And then we get a wide shot. And this is some of the worst CGI. Look, Buffy's CGI looks horrible.
Yes. They could have done just like, because when you cut to the close-ups with the practical stuff, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, but then they cut this wide shot of it, and she's like really tiny, and she's like riding it and trying to choke it. It
looks like glitchy and boxy.
For the TV budget, yeah, that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah. So eventually she's like yanking on this chain. She's riding it like a bull, and she eventually is choking it so hard that the snake is like and Buffy's like, whew, I killed it. I'm gonna unwrap this chain. So she unwraps the chain, and the snake's like, psych, bitch, I'm still alive. And I was like, I love this.
I did too. I was like, can you choke a snake out like that? Yeah. And I'm like, also, this demon's supposed to be better.
Right?
They always bring these, like, this is a threat. It is a threat that if it finds out where the key is, but it's not a threat, like, physically.
Yeah. So Buffy's like, oh, you faked me out? Now I'm fucking pissed, bro. She catches up with the snake again and just starts punching it in the face, and literally punches it in the face to death. And even after it's dead, she's still wailing on this fucking thing. And I was like, yeah.
It is really funny to watch what I can only assume is Sarah Michelle Gellar grossed out by the ooze that is coming out of this thing while she's punching it. Because she goes from like really angry to like protect my sister to where she's punching it and it's all this stuff. And she's like, ew. This feels weird on my hand.
But Buffy needed to take out some aggression. Yeah. Like, this is that Simpsons meme of like, stop it, he's already dead.
Because they got to a shot before they pan up to Glory, because he was really close to her place. Mm-hmm. But she's punching it, and it's just like this rubber dummy. And it's like the head, it keeps flopping back and forth. It's so funny. Yeah.
But yeah, it pans up to Glory, which is like, oh, the snake was so close to telling Glory like what the deal was.
And I hate that I was rooting for the snake to win. Like, I wanted the snake to tell Glory it was Dawn, so we can be like, oh yeah, now it's on. Like,
yeah. Because Glory is still like in the dark at this point.
Yeah, so now we got to do like 8 more Glory things to figure out the key. And then we can like really get into it. And that's
we're only in episode 8 of a 22 episode
that's
season.
What I'm saying.
So
you got to.
But I was wondering, so like Glory is peering out from her window. Do you think that she sees Buffy beating up the snake?
No, I just think that's just to show how close he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And now she probably kills Dreg because that thing isn't coming back.
Oh, you're right. You are absolutely right. Though I wouldn't be surprised if next episode, Gloria's like, I saw the Slayer beat up the snake just because of the proximity and she is peering out the window. But it does not look like she's seeing that.
I don't think she's seeing it,
Because
if she saw that, she'd be like, oh, this thing is actually, like, maybe she would know, like, it's tied to her more because it seemed like personal versus like, oh, it's a demon, I'm just gonna kill it. Yeah.
So then we go to Buffy with Joyce at the hospital, and Joyce is like, all right, I think it's time that I tell Dawn about what's going on. Can you get Dawn? And Buffy's like, yeah. And then Joyce is like, does my hair look good? I don't have scary mom hair, do I? It's like, well, I packed you your conditioner, so you shouldn't.
Such a mom, Joyce. Yeah. I wonder what she's like in real life, that actress.
Christine Sutherland? Sutherland? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Because she does a great job of momming it up this series.
Yeah. She's a great mom character in this. Like, it's good.
Yeah. Like, you cannot like her mothering at times, but, like, she definitely plays the, like, 90s, 2000s mom character that you would see. Yeah.
So Dawn comes in and Buffy leaves and Riley shows up and he's wearing a turtleneck.
You got that turtleneck on.
To hide his vampire hickey.
Yep.
And he's there and he's just like, hey, is everything all right? And Buffy's like, I just need a hug, dude. And he's hugging her and he's like, hey, it's all right, man. Like, you're going through a lot. You can let out some emotion. And Buffy pulls back and she's like, I literally can't, because if I do, I will never stop. And people are relying on me right now. People need me and I can't be a mess. So I need to be strong. And then Joyce calls to Buffy from her room. She's like, Buffy, can you come in here? And Buffy's like, yeah, sure. She goes back into the room and Riley's left alone in the hospital and he's all sad. And that is where we end it.
Yeah, the door closes like the end of the Godfather thing where like they close the door and like Riley's left outside. But this one, I felt a little, I was wondering, now that you like described it, I wonder if Riley feels like, because of what Spike said, and she opened up the Spike and he's like, oh, she won't open up to me right here. Like, but what Buffy says about like not being able to like let loose makes sense.
Yeah, and that's also opening up to Riley.
Yeah, like I feel like that's a valid thing that she's saying to him. And like the shot of like Riley standing in the hallway alone, like feeling like left out, I'm like, this is the time where you need to give her space. Yeah. Like, you give her space unless she needs you around. Like, you, like, this isn't about you, Riley.
Yeah.
Like, this is your girlfriend and her mom's like sick. Like, chill.
Well, part of the recap too was when Riley tells Buffy, like, whenever you feel like you can tell me what's going on in that head of yours, I'll be here with you, when he was pissed like a couple
episodes
ago.
Oh, about Dawn. That was like,
I could see him being like a little, but like,
not
like you said, it's not about him at this moment.
No, it's not like, what was that secret about Dawn? That's like, dude, my mom's like sick. Like, just like, do you need me to give you, like, you know what she needs to be like when, I forget what episode this was, but there was a one when Xander and Cordelia were dating each other and Cordelia bought him donuts and they were in a hospital because Buffy was sick maybe or something.
Yeah, I remember at one point, that was, fuck, what was that episode?
Yeah, because that wasn't like that nightmarish. That was,
Was it the one with the demon that was feeding on kids and Buffy snapped its neck?
Because this one had like that security guard that was being really weird and they had to sneak in the back to like steal some. They had to.
This is when Angel showed up and Xander was like, when you die, I'll be there. Was it that one?
No. This was like, I remember Cordelia had to like pretend with the security guard while Xander snuck around to steal something. And Cordelia was like flirting with the security guard. But I don't know why they were in the hospital. I'm like, there was a hospital scene. Cordelia was a great girlfriend. She brought like donuts to Xander and like she didn't like prod him about relationship stuff. And oh, they got an argument because they were kind of like in and out dating. I really don't remember what that was about. I don't think it was the killing of the kids one. I don't think
that was. I feel like there's only been so many hospital episodes, and one of them was that. And then the other one was when the mayor was trying to kill Buffy with the pillow.
Yeah, no, I think there's. Because I don't think there's a security guard situation. Because
there is a security guard situation with the mayor. Because remember, they
lingered on. No, with the mayor, yeah. But I'm talking about the one where Cordelia's not in the mayor one. So that's.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think it's the one where with the demons going for the kids.
I don't think so. Because this one, it was about. They were doing something else. Because the demon doing the kids, this one was about like people doing something different. This was the one with the frogs. Remember when I brought up Willow didn't like the frogs thing?
What, so it's the nightmare one with the kid that had nightmares? But why would Xander be at the hospital?
That was the frog one was Willow had to say something like, oh, frogs, because she had to get the guards to not attack Buffy.
Oh.
There was something, I don't know. But
I have no idea.
Anyway, everyone on Discord is
going to. Long, pointless.
Not pointless, because Cordelia. was doing the right comforting thing.
Yeah.
And like Riley right now, it's the show's making it be like, oh, I don't think this moment highlights Buffy being mean. I don't think Buffy has done anything wrong to Riley this whole episode, but they're like, they're like linking it like, oh, Riley feels so bad. Like Spike said some stuff. Dawn said some stuff. But like Buffy's actions have not pushed him. Have not confirmed the stuff that people have said.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Riley also can't right now be like, do you love me or not?
Yeah, it's like.
So he's just.
About. Yeah.
His arc since then has been so sad. Like, I mean, Riley's whole character is just sad as fuck, dude. Like, it's getting sad as shit.
Graham was right, man. Get out of Sunnydale, dude.
Yeah, Graham. That beautiful lunk.
Yeah. True love.
What are you? The mission's boyfriend? The mission's true love? How dare you use those words?
Maybe we should call the military. Maybe we should call those initiative guys that I ran away from for two episodes. God.
Got anything else to say about Shadow, Vance?
I do not.
I enjoyed this episode. Love the Cobra guy. Love the emotional beats of it, too. Big fan of this episode. Next episode is titled Listening to Fear.
Sure.
Somebody get a hearing aid that speaks to the demon realm?
Yes. I'm down with that, yeah.
Hell yeah, that's what we're going with, everybody.
If that's right, that'd be amazing.
I'd be so pleased with myself. But anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. That is our recap and review of Shadow. If you want to get a shout out, do an Apple Podcast rate and review, do a Spotify thing on 5 stars. Oh, yeah, we do 5 stars. Screenshot it. Send it to me at Joe Welke. Join our Discord. We have a lot of fun, lively conversations. Looks like some people are like starting a book club in the Discord, it seems like. I don't go into the books thing anymore because I'm illiterate, but
you're like, I bought a picture book.
Yeah, I literally did. That was my contribution to that.
Joe's waiting to he's gonna take baby steps. He's gonna go to pop-up books next, and then maybe it's
works. Literally titled Books and Comics. It's a comic book art book about a manga. So yeah, join the Discord. We got a bunch of stuff going on. Join our Patreon. Cruel Intentions review has gotten rave reviews from the listeners. People have enjoyed our chatter about that.
Yeah, and we have the craft. We have the menu. We have Mr. Fix-It.
Renfield.
What else did we do?
We're doing about the menu. Did we talk?
Yeah, to said the menu. Yet? What was the second thing we did? God.
we got 7 of them. So yeah, join Boys Watching Movies. We do Boys
Watching.
We did Scrooged. Oh, Scrooged, right.
Save that maybe for the holidays, but that was a real fun.
That was crazy. That was real fun.
And we did Cocaine Bear. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Guys, time's flying.
What a random collection of movies.
Yeah. We also got Boys Watching Angel in there. And then we got the Joe's Fashion Report tier that has 0 patrons, but I'm guessing it's because everybody wants the Angel in the movies. And if you sign up for those ones, you get Joe's Fashion Report anyway. So, yeah, there's that. We also have a wish list and a throne and all that stuff. And, yeah, follow the Instagram at Boys Watching Buffy. Email in boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. I don't think I'm missing anything. Am I?
No.
For the ending plugs?
No.
Yeah. There we go.
You did it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and stay tuned next time for when we talk about listening to fear.
Does anyone appreciate that I'm on a schedule here? Tick, tock, drag, tick, frickin' talk!